Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, we read the story of Mary and Martha, two women who are friends of Jesus, and in this instance, hosts to a Jesus weary from travel and teaching. Martha gets busy with many tasks, many preparations. Maybe putting together a good dinner for her surprise guests. And yes, it would have been guests, because Jesus would have been accompanied by his disciples. Mary, on the other hand, sits at the Lord's feet, listening. Now, I have to say that I have a lot of empathy for Martha. I've been the one who's ended up doing all the work because my sister was too lazy to help. And I once had a housemate who refused to take her turn with the household cleaning because she said she had to devote herself to Bible study. True story. So I have a lot of empathy for Martha, who was wearing herself to a frazzle and out of the corner of her eye, seeing her sister sitting at Jesus' feet, doing exactly nothing. I can appreciate the sense of frustration and unfairness that must have been eating her up. And frankly, if I were Martha, I'm not sure that I would have been terribly impressed with Jesus' response to the situation either. But I can also empathize with Mary. She loved Jesus. She wanted to be near him. She hung on his every word. And instead of shooing her back into the kitchen, Jesus welcomes her as she sits at his feet listening, just like all the other disciples. And she is commended for having chosen the one thing needful, the better thing, to listen to Jesus, to grow in her understanding of everything that he was teaching. So what are we supposed to make of this narrative? Is Bible study better than bathroom cleaning? Historically, this text has been used to suggest that contemplative life in a monastery was better than living as a Christian in the world. People have used this text to pit prayer against service, contemplation against action. And if you take the text by itself, out of context, it's easy to do that. But what happens if we put the text into context? Last week, we read the story of the Good Samaritan. Those were the verses just before today's text. The punchline of that text seemed to be, go and do. Today, the punchline seems to be, stay and pray. So which is it? Do we busy ourselves like Martha in serving Jesus? Or do we sit ourselves down at Jesus' feet, intently listening, like Mary? We can only make sense of the whole of Scripture when we realize that the answer is both. It's not one or the other. It's both, each in their proper time and place. It's balance. James says that faith without works is dead. And I'd like to suggest that works, no matter how good, is busy work if it is not grounded in our love for Jesus. It's both. That was the conclusion of the early church fathers and of other saints. Origen said that action and contemplation do not exist one without the other. St. John Chrysostom said that there is a right time for listening and a right time for working. Gregory the Great said that balance is needed. Aquinas said that there is virtue in both contemplation and action. Catherine of Siena said that there needs to be a unity in action and prayer. And Saint Teresa of Avila, who reformed the Carmelite order, founded 17 convents, and authored many books, was principally known as a woman of prayer. I've been reading a book about how early church fathers read and interpreted the scriptures. It's interesting that almost every one of them wanted the contemplative life. They wanted to go to a monastery and devote themselves to study and prayer. And they all ended up being pressed into service as bishops of the church. Their deep spirituality was seen as necessary for healing a church in times of persecution and crisis. We seem to have the opposite problem in our times. We live in a task-oriented society. Productivity seems to be the ultimate goal. And I suspect that many of us would have to confess that our prayer life suffers because of our busyness and distraction. Maybe today's text does call us to become more like Mary, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning. The one thing truly necessary is to be with Jesus. On the other hand, there's a rather humorous anecdote that dates back to the fourth century. There was an ascetic monk who refused to perform any labor. His abbot shut him in a cell with a book without food and said, "Because you are a spiritual man and do not need that kind of food. We, being carnal, want to eat, and that is why we work. But you have chosen the good portion and read the whole day long and do not want to eat carnal food." He concluded by saying that Mary needs Martha, and it is really thanks to Martha that Mary is praised. Yes, there is a practicality here. If all we do is read and pray, how will we get dinner? And if Martha had not been busy in all of her tasks and preparation, would Mary actually have had the opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus? Benedictine spirituality seems to get the balance right. Their motto is ora et labora, pray and work. Benedictine monks and nuns typically spend as much as 5 hours a day praying. But they also spend up to 6 hours a day working, often doing manual labor of some sort. But they have an integrated perspective on their lives, that their prayer is a kind of spiritual work, and that their work is simply another form of prayer. All things are done in the presence of God and for the sake of their relationship with God. This fall in our book study, we will read a book called The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. He was a Carmelite monk of the 17th century, and he wrote, "Our actions should unite us with God when we are involved in our daily activities, just as our prayers unite us with Him in our quiet devotion." Balance. Maybe we need to think about our own lives a little. Are we out of balance? My suspicion is that none of us would say that we are failing to get things done because we pray too much. But many of us probably need to confess that we don't pray enough because we are too busy. And then we need to reflect on how much of our busyness is necessary, and how much busyness do we take on because in our culture there is something about productivity and accomplishment that just feels good. It feels affirming. Balance. That silly story about the ascetic monk makes a very real point, that if we want to eat, we must work. Even Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, says that if a man will not work, he shall not eat. It seems that right from the beginning, there were those who wanted to interpret the Mary and Martha story as an invitation to sheer laziness. But how is it that we engage in the necessary work of our lives? What attitude do we bring to the things that we do? I truly believe that the problem with Martha was not what she did. It was not the fact that she was busy with tasks and preparations, but the attitude with which she did it. There are three parts of the text that I want to bring out that show her attitude problems. First, the text says that she was distracted. The word distracted means that she was focusing her attention on something other than what she should have been focusing on. We have laws against distracted driving because it's just downright dangerous. Somehow, the text implies, Martha was not focusing on the right thing. Secondly, we are told that she was worried. Anxiety is never the space that Jesus wants us to live in. In the Gospels, Jesus tells his followers not to worry, that God knows our needs. Peter tells us to cast all our cares upon God because he cares for us. And Paul tells us that instead of being worried, he has learned how to be content in all circumstances. Thirdly, Martha's approach to addressing her situation is simply not right. Instead of patting Mary gently on the shoulder and saying, "Could you come and give me a hand?" you can almost hear the anger in her voice as she says, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." There are really two problems here. One is the implication that Jesus doesn't care, because of course Jesus cares. But Martha is implying that if Jesus cares, he will make Mary get up and help. What Martha has done is called triangulation. Instead of addressing Mary directly, she wants Jesus to step in and fix what she sees as the problem. And in doing so, she is disrespecting both her relationship with her sister and her relationship with Jesus. Mary showed her love of Jesus by sitting at his feet listening. If Martha had simply been content to show her love in all the tasks and preparations that she was making to host Jesus, I don't think there would have been a problem. The problem is that her service has become resentful rather than loving. Balance. Maybe these are the two lessons of the text. That in whatever service we feel that God has called us to, we should never become resentful because of our perception that someone else is just not working as hard as we are. And, on the other hand, we should never let preoccupation with a life of service become a distraction that leads to our neglect of the word, to our neglect of prayer. May God give to us the gift of discernment that we might know in each circumstance of our lives how best to love him who loves us infinitely. Amen.